promised, we are joined right now by a journalist for ESPN, host of Ariel Helwani's MMA show, Ariel and the Bad Guy, DC and Helwani, the ESPN MMA Snap Show. He is an NBA sideline reporter. He is a Knicks fan. And yes, he is still a friend of the program. He is Ariel Helwani. Ariel, what's up? How are you?
Jim, a pleasure as always. Why do you say still a friend of the program? Was that ever in doubt?
In the event that anybody forgot or didn't know, or I just want to emphasize the point. Still a friend. Long has been a friend. Always will be a friend.
Well, I appreciate that. That means a lot, considering I used to listen to you while driving with my mom in Montreal, and she used to love your long and dramatic pauses. So it's still an honor, and it's still surreal that you have me on the show. So thank you once again.
You got it. It's good to have you, and I appreciate the relationship. All right, so we're about 48 hours away from UFC 254. Habib Gaethje, you've been around the sport a long time. Where does this fight stack up among the all-time great fights in UFC history?
On paper, it's a fascinating one. It's certainly intriguing. You know, sometimes we are prisoners of the moment and we say this is the best and that's the best. But when you consider the fact that Habib is 28-0, when you consider how dominant he's been, that he's only lost one round in the UFC to Conor McGregor a couple of years ago, and how good he's looked as a champion, how good he looked in his last fight against Dustin Poirier 13 months ago, and also you consider what he's been through this year, most notably the loss of his father, Abdulmanap, who wasn't just his father, was his mentor and best friend and head coach, all those things and more. And then when you consider Justin Gaethje and how good he has looked, and I believe he's his toughest fight, Khabib's toughest fight in the UFC, considering his skill set, the fact that he's a great wrestler, a tremendous striker, a very powerful striker. Yeah, this has all the makings. And oh, by the way, on top of all that, Khabib is telling us like, hey, I might have one or two left, max. And so you start to think like, whoa, this is ending already? And you start to appreciate it more, and it all feels like a bigger deal. He fights essentially once a year these days, and distance makes the heart grow fonder. Now all of a sudden, every time he reemerges, it feels like a bigger and bigger deal.
Ariel Helwani is joining us. And Ariel, you mentioned the loss of his father. Do you have any kind of sense, and I want to say this respectfully, but do you have any sense as to where he is emotionally and psychologically following the death of his father, who was also his best friend, his mentor, and his coach?
Yeah, so this is a really interesting one. And I know that it is, you know, this is part of our job, right? Like, we all remember Brett Favre playing, what was it, like 24 hours after his father passed away on Monday Night Football. Like, this is just a part of sports. Athletes are humans and all this stuff. It does feel a little uncomfortable that, like, his father gets used sometimes as a storyline, but I understand why that's happening. I'll just say this. To me, and from talking to people close to him and from just kind of observing him, it does feel like he is very determined and very motivated to do this for his father. Now, if you're wondering how it will affect him, like as far as X's and O's on Saturday, his father was actually only in his corner for one UFC fight. He had a visa issue, and the last time he was in his corner, the only time he was in his corner, was last September. His most recent fight in Abu Dhabi, he was able to travel from Dagestan to Abu Dhabi, but he couldn't get into the States. And so he's kind of used to fighting without his dad, but obviously this is much different. He's not, you know, he's not here anymore, unfortunately. And so, yeah, I'm curious. I was wondering if he'd come back. I was wondering if he'd say, I don't want to do this. But now it feels like he wants to do this in honor of his dad, and that's a very powerful thing. And they had a deal that he would make it to 30-0 and that maybe he would fight George St. Pierre in his last fight. And all these things are kind of coming to fruition. They're all within reach, I think. And so I think that we're going to see a very determined, a focused Khabib who's wanting to do this for his dad, as opposed to a weak Khabib who's going to use the passing of his father as an excuse or a crutch.
Ariel Helwani is joining us. And then on the other side, you've got Gaethje, and he was just absolutely spectacular in showing up the way he did against Tony Ferguson. If he shows up that way, and again, we're talking about different guys, styles do make fights. If Gaethje shows up the way he did against Ferguson, how tough a fight will that be for Khabib?
Very tough. And I'm happy that you said styles make fights, because at the end of the day, MMA is a very hard sport to predict, because this guy could look amazing against that guy, but then he fights the other guy who beat the guy that he looked amazing against, and then he loses that guy. I mean, it's just
right.
It's a crazy sport like that, right? MMA math can give you a big headache. And so I think, regardless of the matchup, if the Justin Gaethje who showed up against Ferguson, and by the way, the Justin Gaethje who showed up in the three fights prior to that shows up on Saturday, he has a very good chance because he's turned into a very different fighter than the one who lost two in a row a few years ago in the UFC. He used to be this Tasmanian devil who would walk in there and be okay with getting, you know, two punches to the chin and then handing out three. He liked the firefight. He liked fighting in that phone booth. He liked getting dropped. He was all like crazy for that sort of thing. Fight of the night, all that stuff. Now he's become a lot more patient, a lot more calm, a lot more cool, collected, a lot smarter. He doesn't take the same kind of damage. And so I think if he can keep this fight in the center of the octagon, not get pressed up against the cage, because that's where Khabib does his best work, not make this a dirty fight like that kind of fight where Khabib presses you up against the cage, takes you down, does the Dagestani handcuff routine, puts his hand over your mouth, what he did to Dustin Poirier. If he can keep it in the center of the octagon, utilize his leg kicks the same way he did against Tony Ferguson, keep him at bay, and then make this into a kickboxing fight, he's got better striking than Khabib. He has more power in his hands than Khabib. Remember, when Khabib fought Conor McGregor and Khabib took Conor down in the center of the octagon, not up against the cage, Conor got back up. And Justin has better takedown defense and better wrestling than Conor. So he'll be able to get back up, I think, as well. And then if he can keep this fight standing and tag Khabib, by the way, the same way Dustin Poirier tagged him in their fight last September, all bets are off. I really do think he has a chance if all those things can happen. Now, I know that's a big if, but I do think he has the skill set to make this into a really interesting fight.
Ariel Helwani is joining us. You know, both these guys also, Ariel, are really interesting personalities. I'm curious, what is your sense as to what each guy thinks of the other?
Total respect, no bad blood, no animosity. In fact, they're both managed by the same guy, a polarizing figure in our sport named Ali Abdelaziz. They're both managed by him. And so they're part of the same sort of team, if you will, family. But obviously, it's not a sparring match. They're going to beat each other. But one really cool thing that happened yesterday, and this has been what Gaethje has said ever since he beat Ferguson, he's not interested in the interim belt. You know, sometimes you'll see a guy win the interim belt or a woman win the interim belt and treat that as if it's the real belt. Heck, Conor McGregor did that. And he did a great job of almost like putting into existence the fact that he was the real champion, even though when he won the interim title against Chad Mendes back at UFC 189, he was the interim champion. He only became the official champ at UFC 194 when he knocked out Jose Aldo. Gaethje is one of those guys who won the interim belt and didn't even put it around his waist, put it on the ground and told Joe Rogan afterwards in May, hey, I'm waiting for the real one. Yesterday at the press conference when they faced off, they gave both of them a belt and Gaethje took it off and said, no, I'm waiting for that one. He's the real champ. I mean, how could you not respect that? How could you not love that? I know Khabib respects it, but I also know that Gaethje's been waiting for this moment a long time. He wants the real one. He's trying to go in and take it tomorrow. No, not tomorrow, Saturday. And by the way, we should remind everyone, I know it's a really busy Saturday, and I know it's Big Ten coming back and all that stuff, but this is an afternoon fight. This is a matinee, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on ESPN Plus pay-per-view, and I'm not being Mr. Shill company businessman here. I just want the fans to know that this is happening in the afternoon so they don't miss it because it's worth obviously watching.
No, it's actually a very good point. I was going to bring that up. That's a 2 p.m. Eastern fight, 11 Pacific, and that speaks to the size of Khabib's international following, that they would do something like that. You mentioned Conor McGregor, Ariel. What about the fact that he agreed to fight Dustin Poirier on January 23rd and that he wants that fight to take place in Arlington at AT&T Stadium? Exactly where does that fight stand right now?
Well, right now it's not signed. They both kind of verbally agreed, but they haven't put pen to paper. And Dustin hasn't like officially agreed. I know he's kind of shown his hand a little bit on social media saying that he wants the fight, but they're still talking. I don't hate the fight. The fight is a good fight. If Conor wants to fight for the belt, if the UFC wants to put him in a title fight, he should get by a Dustin Poirier. I don't like the fact that it's happening 3 months after Khabib Gaethje. A lot can happen in those 3 months. I think it would have made a lot more sense to have Conor fight in November so he could be fighting around the same time so that they can then come back before Ramadan next year, early April, have that fight. If it's Conor who wins, you do the Conor-Khabib rematch. If it's Gaethje who wins and Conor wins, you do Gaethje-Conor, which is a really big deal. All the possibilities are there. But now that you're having Conor fight 3 months later, I mean, there's a very good chance that, you know, if Khabib wins on Saturday and then Conor wins in January, we don't see the rematch until the fall of next year, and who knows what could happen between now and then. So that, to me, look, the UFC won this public battle with Conor. I think it was like this game of one-upmanship, and everyone was trying to outdo the other. But the one part that they didn't win, in my opinion, was the date. I think the fight should have happened November 21st. You give the people what they want, and then you have Conor fighting around the same time as the title, because you always want to have the top contender fighting around the same time as the belt.
All right, so all that said, where or how would you describe the relationship now between Conor and the UFC?
Oh, and by the way, I didn't really answer your question. I do think right this second it happens in Vegas. They're not looking at Texas AT&T Stadium, I should say, Cowboy Stadium. But again, a lot can happen between now and then. The relationship between Conor and the UFC is in an interesting spot. You know, there's been this misconception over the years that they were all, like, tight, and they were, you know, BFF, kumbaya. That hasn't been the case for the past four or so years. You know, the UFC, as you know, they are a very dominant brand, and they are led by a dominant ego, right? And that's been part of their success. And they don't like when someone gets bigger than the brand. And you can make a case that Conor is just as big as the brand. Like, you could walk down a street in, I don't know, Brussels and ask someone who Conor McGregor is. There's a chance they know who Conor is, but maybe they don't know who the UFC is. That hasn't been the case in the past. He recognizes that. They recognize that. And there's this constant battle to prove that they are, you know, the bosses, right? That they tell Conor what to do. And so that's why they say, all right, you're going to fight on this day. And he's like, no, I want to fight on this day. You're going to fight this guy. I want to fight that guy. Oh, we're going to agree to fight, but I want it to be at AT&T Stadium. Like, it's this constant game of back and forth. And so they're not, you know, the best of friends, but they always recognize at the end of the day that there's a lot of money to be made when they are on the same page. So we see this thing happen often. They battle, and then eventually they agree. This is what's happening again. But at some point, once Conor's deal expires, and I believe there's four fights left, things are going to get really interesting. Unless they somehow dramatically fix this relationship, I would say it's probably not trending in the right direction.
It's a fascinating conversation, right? Who has the bigger brand, the UFC or Conor in and of himself?
Who do you think?
He's a journalist for ESPN, the host of several shows and podcasts, etc. And yes, a friend of the program. And remember, Ariel makes a very good point. It is going to be a 2 p.m. Eastern time for the main card, 11 o'clock Pacific. And that's unusual, so make note of that. Ariel, great job. Have an amazing weekend. Great to talk to you about that fight, and I know we'll do it again soon.
And by the way, if you see Chael Sonnen, I haven't seen him or heard from him since I laid the verbal smackdown on him on your program a couple of months ago. If you see or hear from him, tell him I'm looking for him. I'm concerned, and I hope he's doing okay.
Ariel, do you think one thing has anything to do with the other? Did you put him to sleep? Did you put him to sleep?
I haven't heard from him, so I would imagine he's either asleep or has just left out of fear for his own safety.
I see it working. All right. If I see him, I will let him know. If, in fact, I see him. Ariel Helwani joining us. All right, then. My man. When we come back, and for the record, I have not seen Chael, nor have I heard from Chael. I don't know, man. Maybe he tapped out on life after what Ariel did to him on this show.